Blog Talk Radio.
What's up? Good evening. This is Scott Burks, creator of The Clown Times, bringing to you tonight The Clown Hour. And like I said before, I'm the author of the aforementioned sports blog, The Clown Times. That's Clown spelled with a K. You'll be able to find me on the web at www.theclowntimes.net. And you can find us on Facebook just through a search for The Clown Times. That's, again, that's Clown with a K. You'll be able to find me. So freaking excited. I'm so freaking excited tonight because this is the inaugural NFL preview show at the Clown Hour. I have three amazing guests with me tonight. First of all, we have Pamela Michelle from NFL's from NFLfemale.com. I also have the Wild Banshee herself, Rebecca Wetzel from Banshee Sports. And last but not least, I got my main man, Dwayne Nash, from the Yard/HBCU Sports. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Clown Hour.
Thanks for having us.
All right. I see you all excited because y'all come at the same time. It's all good. Well, first of all, we're going to be previewing all the divisions. We're going to basically give our division winners, and if you want to, give your stellar dwellers for each of your divisions. And then basically, who do you have winning all this year? So this is going to be exciting. It's going to be a cool podcast. And since my homegirl, Pamela, has to do a show of her own at 10 o'clock, check out on Block Talk Radio, y'all. We're going to let the lady go first so she can get her picks out of the way, and maybe she can cry over her Giants first, and we'll pick at her after that. So without further ado, Pam, hit us with your picks. Let me have them.
Okay. Well, first, I guess we can do the NFC first. NFC East is always first for me. So,
and
we all know this. Because I'm a Giants fan, I really find it hard to pick against my own team. I just do.
Right.
History states that the same team, and especially in the NFC East, has not won the same division 2 years in a row, so I don't really think the Redskins are going to win. History tells us it's technically the Cowboys' turn. I find that hard to believe. So,
Please no.
But it's true. I mean, the Giants won the year before, then it was the Redskins last year, and technically it's supposed to be the Cowboys' turn. Like I said, I really find this hard to believe. I think that the Eagles are probably going to be the cellar dwellers for this division, and I do see it being a battle between the Redskins and the Giants. Despite the Giants' injuries right now, I do think that they can stay in the thick of things. But as much as it pains me to say it, it seems RG3 is ready to go, and I have said before on this show and a few other shows that RG3 is the difference maker. Reality is he's the difference maker. I do see the Redskins taking the division, but I see the Giants getting into the playoffs as a wild card for the NFC East.
All right. Okay. That's interesting.
So, I mean, it's only fair to say.
right.
I mean, you want to go like that, but it's okay. The next division would be the NFC North. For me,
right,
I think that the Chicago Bears are actually going to be the cellar dwellers for this division.
Uh-oh. Wow.
I really
do. Wow.
I think that the Bears are going to miss I think they're going to, you know, have a few games less than people are giving them. I think that it might be kind of neck and neck with the Detroit Lions. Green Bay, I love their offense. Always have loved their offense. They do have a couple of question marks on defense. I'm going out on a limb here. And I think that a lot of people might question this pick, but I actually think that the Vikings could take this division. I think
Whoa.
with I do. I think the Vikings could take this division.
Wow.
I know that it's a crazy pick, and nobody should
You're
ever pick
surprises.
Against Aaron Rodgers. But you have AP, and plus, I mean, Greg Jennings is going to be fitting into this offense, and Cordell Patterson just seems like the real deal. He had a fantastic training camp, and I'm expecting some really good things from him. So I really think that the Vikings, this could be a year where they're going to take the division away from the Green Bay Packers.
Wow. Wow. That's ballsy right there. That's outside the box, sister. I love it.
It really is. And I like thinking outside the box. I don't like going with the picks that everybody else goes with. And like I said, I do understand Aaron Rodgers. I understand Green Bay. They have the receivers. I mean, with the addition of Eddie Lacy and Jonathan Franklin, you know, they may have a very steady running game. I personally do like Eddie Lacy as a running back, but their defense. And I know that when you have a quarterback of Aaron Rodgers' stature, it's equivalent to having like a Peyton Manning. And when Peyton Manning, you know, won his championship games, the Indianapolis defense wasn't all that stellar either, but it didn't matter because Peyton Manning was putting the numbers on the board.
Right, right.
But it's a little bit different in this division, and I really do think that the Vikings have a chance of taking this division. I'm not saying they're running away with it, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did win this division.
Wow.
The NFC South.
Yes.
I have, of course, the Atlanta Falcons winning this division. But I think that Carolina is going to be a better team than most people think. And it wouldn't surprise me if Carolina actually got into the playoffs maybe with a wild card.
Wow. Wow.
So I don't think that New Orleans is going to take this division. I understand it's Drew Brees. I understand Sean Payton's back now. But it's so hard to go against Matt Ryan and what he has down there with two of the best receivers in the game. That's the best tandem you could get with Roddy White and Julio Jones.
That's true. Very
you know, I mean, you have those receivers, and now you put Steven Jackson in. Steven Jackson is far better than Michael Turner.
Right.
Far better of
that's
a choice.
Really close. Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, now that he has a more stellar running game, and once the running game is going to open up that passing game, you can't cover them both. You just can't. Mm-hmm. And Matt Ryan, I think, is going to be even better than he was last year. So I do have the Atlanta Falcons winning this division.
All right.
The NFC West, I have the Seahawks winning that division. I just do.
You drinking the Kool-Aid.
I really am drinking the Kool-Aid with that. Although, I think that the St. Louis Rams are going to have a very good year, but I'm drinking that Seattle Kool-Aid. I really am. I mean, that's the one that I definitely am buying into. I'm not buying into San Francisco this year.
Wow.
Yeah. I know Colin Kaepernick. I understand all the deals that goes on there, but I'm drinking the Seattle Kool-Aid.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, so basically, even with Percy Hartman on the men, you're still feeling the Seahawks, basically. You're still feeling the Seahawks.
I still am. I think that the thing is that the Seahawks didn't have Percy Harvin last year either, and they were able to do all kinds of things. San Francisco had Michael Crabtree last year, and Michael Crabtree is not there this year, and I think that that hurts them more than Percy Harvin minus the Seattle Seahawks.
Good point.
So, I mean, that's personally how I'm looking at it, is that Michael Crabtree was there last year as one of Kaepernick's favorite receivers, and he was pretty much one of his go-to guys, and now he's not there this year. Their receiver core is thin. I know Anquan Boldin is there, and I think that he's going to be a very fine addition, but the Seattle Seahawks did all of what they did last year without Percy Harvin, and while Percy Harvin makes them better, definitely better, they're not going to feel it as much with Percy Harvin being gone as the 49ers are going to feel it with Michael Crabtree being gone. So that's sort of how I feel about that, and that is why I'm drinking the Seattle Kool-Aid. So with the AFC, I'm not even going to go into the wreck that is the AFC just because the New York Jets are in that division. And
that's why I call it the NFC East. That's why I call it the NFC East.
Right. I mean, really, it used to be a really tough division. It used to be a very competitive division. This is the Patriots' division to win, even with all the problems that the Patriots have had with not being able to have a consistent tight end, with everything that has been going on as far as now Danny Amendola, you know, being apparently injured with another groin injury. I still think that the Patriots win this division. It's the Bills still need, you know, to strengthen up a little bit. I understand, you know, that they're going to give the ball to C.J. Spiller till he throws up, but you're going to stack the box against him, and then if you do that, who else are you going to throw to? Okay, you got there's Stevie Johnson, and then who's going to be your quarterback if E.J. Manuel gets hurt? You're seriously going to put
right.
Tool in there? I mean, Kevin Cobb is not even
here.
An issue anymore. Huh?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
this is the Patriots division to win. And
yeah,
it's definitely, I don't exactly know how competitive Miami's going to be. I think they're going to be competitive, but I do think that the injury to Dustin Keller did take at least a game or two away from them and put them a game or two more in the loss column than what they had realistically. Dustin Keller's
yeah.
injury, because they haven't gone out and gotten another tight end yet.
Right.
So, no, this is the Patriots division. The Patriots are winning this division. The
yeah.
AFC North, for this division, it's not even really close for me. I think that the Ravens still will be good. I don't think they're going to be as good as they were last year. I do like what Cleveland has done. Not completely sold on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I see the Steelers, you know, maybe even being very close to the bottom of this division. But I have the Cincinnati Bengals winning this division.
Yeah, that's the trend to pick right now. So
It is. And you know what? Their defense is stellar. I really like, you know, the direction that they've been going in. They've been quietly flying under the radar. And I think that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to win this division, and they're going to do something that they haven't done in franchise history, and that's going to have two playoff appearances in a row. I really think that, yeah, the Cincinnati Bengals are definitely taking the AFC North. The AFC South, as far as I'm concerned, is the Houston Texans division. I think that when you have the Tennessee Titans, who I think are going to be better than most people give them credit for, the Jaguars, I do see them as the solid dwellers, and then Indianapolis, we're going to have to see how some of that works. I do really like T.Y. Hilton a lot as a receiver. Mm. I'm questioning a lot of the running game. I think that with me, it goes back to being a Giants fan and Ahmad Bradshaw. We all know Bradshaw plays hurt. I think that if he can get through what he usually does and do what he does, and he can give the Indianapolis Colts a better running game than what they have had, I think that that's going to make all the difference in the world. If Bradshaw is not able to go, their running game is going to suffer, and I think that that's going to put them back a little bit further than what they want it to be. So the Houston Texans, for me, are winning the AFC South. The AFC West, I can't even get into that just because there's two. It's sort of like the AFC East. It really is. When you have, like, the Oakland Raiders and you have the San Diego Chargers in the same division, and then you have Peyton Manning, Christmas came early for Peyton Manning. It just did. You know, I mean, the Broncos, even despite, you know, they're not going to have Miller for, you know, the first six games, it's still such a weak division. They don't have to be as good. I still see them winning the AFC West.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
I mean, that's kind of, as far as, like, my NFC and AFC representatives, I have kind of different picks than most people. For me,
sure.
I don't, as much as I would like to see the Giants in the Super Bowl in New York, I don't necessarily think that's going to happen. I think that they are going to be good enough to get in. Whether or not the momentum carries over for that is remain to be seen. But their formula usually is once they get in, they win. I'm hoping that continues. So I sort of did make two picks on my other show, Sports Infusion. One was my sort of dream sequence pick, and my dream sequence pick is just the same as my week two for the New York Giants schedule, and that's the Denver Broncos against the New York Giants. That's the dream pick I would like to see. Of course, with Eli winning his third Super Bowl ring and Peyton only still being stuck with one. Realistically.
You have to dream.
Exactly. We have to dream. As a fan, you have to believe. Realistically, I think that it's going to be. I think the Atlanta Falcons are going to come out of the NFC being the representatives for the NFC. And I think the Cincinnati Bengals are going to be the AFC representatives.
Wow.
And I think it's going to be an Atlanta-Cincinnati Bengals Super Bowl with Atlanta winning.
Wow. Wow, that's outside the box. I like it. That's outside the box right there, sister. That is outside the freaking box. I would say this. Going back to your Denver pick, well, I don't know that you had to pick them to win the division, the AFC West. One of the no-shit Sharks division, as far as I'm concerned. As long as John Fox stays the hell out of the way, unlike he did in the playoff game against Baltimore, where it was the hell Flacco play, the hell Flacco game, as I call it. You know, I think that Denver could get far as long, but I think that, you know, I remember John Fox when he coached the Panthers. You know, how he kept it close to the vest, how he kept everything conservative, despite the fact he had Steve Smith, despite the fact he had two stud running backs, a healthy Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams, and an awesome defense led by Julius Peppers at the time. He kept it conservative to the point that it drove Panthers fans crazy. And I see it, and I saw it driving Broncos fans crazy in the playoffs last year. You know, especially that last sequence when they could have, if they may have the opportunity to put the ball in the air to put them further in the field goal position to win in overtime, instead, they call another run play on third down in midfield, and the rest is history. So at any rate, you know, I like a lot of your picks. I love outside the box thinkers. I love outside the box thinkers. The last thing I want anyone to see is anyone else regurgitating the ESPN's quote unquote experts and other quote unquote experts everywhere. Just go with your gut. Use your own two sets of common sense. Put two and two together and throw something up. I love those picks.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for offering that insight.
Well, like you said, I do listen to ESPN. I watch ESPN. I understand what their analysts say, but I also know what I'm seeing for myself too. And of course. I don't think that my picks are very far fetched. I really do think my Atlanta Cincinnati pick is realistic. It is a little bit outside the box. But I do think that it's something that could be far more reality than Denver and the New York Giants, which is why I tease everybody and say I have my fantasy in my head pick, and then I have my reality pick, you know?
Right. Yeah, I'll say this, though, about the Vikings pick. Again, I like outside-the-box thinkers. I'm just saying this is my point of view, and I heard a buddy of mine on Facebook say this. And Dwayne, I think you know where I'm about to go with this, because he said it to you. It's a lot like, you know, Greg Jennings leaving Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay for Christian Ponder in Minnesota. It's like leaving Halle Berry for Precious. I mean, it's just sad. It's just sad. I mean, that's a movie reference that way. But anyway.
No, I completely agree. And if you look at – and see, my whole point is that I'm not saying that Christian Ponder is anywhere even near the stature of who Aaron Rodgers is. But their games are so different because Aaron Rodgers has the arm. He has the quick release. He has a wide variety of receivers that they can go through. I do think that Minnesota's defense is a little bit better than Green Bay's defense. And Minnesota does have AP, where Green Bay really doesn't have an established running game yet. And I understand that AP doesn't win them the whole season just because you have Adrian Peterson, but all he needs to do is be Trent Dilfer and be a game manager, and I think that that division can be theirs.
And then come up with another quarterback metric to rival the total quarterback rating, like Trent Dilfer there for ESPN. you playing the same. Hey, to me, that's like, that Trent Dilfer's way of saying, don't clown me for winning the Super Bowl as a mediocre quarterback. Damn it, I got value. So there you go.
Exactly. You don't need to be an elite quarterback to win a Super Bowl. You just need to have some talent around you, and you have to know how to manage the game. There's no way that I mean, it's tragic. Dan Marino doesn't have a Super Bowl ring, and Trent Dilfer does.
And so does Brad Johnson.
Right. There you go.
Brad Johnson. there you have it. Okay, Sporty Diva, I know you got to get ready to do your show at 10 o'clock, so y'all check out her NFL show. Okay, cool. Well, thanks a lot, Sporty Diva. I'll be hollering at you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. You guys have a nice show.
All right,
we got it. We got it. Cool.
All right, cool.
All
right, bye, guys. Night. Thank you.
Bye.
Night.
Bye.
Right. So that was the Sporty Diva, y'all. So like I said, the show starts at 10, so check out. But anyway, we're going to keep the party going. We're going to go to the first time in here, the Wild Banshee herself, a Banshee Sports, Miss Rebecca Webster. Rebecca, what's up, girl?
Not too much. Do I have to go through all eight divisions without any interruption like she did?
You know, I may chime in every now and again, so give it a shot.
Well, good. All right.
I
well,
may be nice to you.
Well, starting with the NFC East. I'll go in the same order she did, but start with the NFC East. This to me was, I could come up with a scenario where all four of these teams actually did come out as the winner, but I picked the Redskins to repeat, not because I think their offense is so amazing. I really think it's because there's no reason their offense won't be about as good, but I think their defense will be much better this year. And I read your breakdown about their secondary, and I can't disagree with that. But I think that their defense overall will be better, and their secondary will be helped by having a better pass rush this year because they're getting Arakpo back and Kerrigan back, and I think that's going to make a huge difference. So I'm going to go ahead and pick the Redskins. I've got them at 10-6, though, so by no means running away with the division. And I've actually got the Eagles in the cellar at 6-10. I have questions about their defense, and I'm just not a believer that Vic is going to stay healthy for an entire season. And without him, I really don't see Nick Foles being able to get the job done in that brand new offense there. So that's my NFC East thoughts. My NFC North, I actually have the Chicago Bears as the division winners at 10-6. And, again, I think the Vikings are going to be a bad team this year, honestly. But I think that the Packers I think their offensive line is going to be too many problems, and I think their defense is going to be too weak. And I've got them at 8-8 and not in the playoffs at all.
Wow.
And I think that,
that's cool.
Partially because I think they're backing up a little bit, but I think it's also because I think that the Lions will be significantly better. And if I recall correctly, 10-6 is not actually an improvement for the Bears over last year. That they were 10-6 last year, but missed the playoffs at that mark. Yeah.
Right. And hopefully they don't fire their coach for going 10-6 like they did last year. But that's not
right. Which I'll be honest, I did not understand at all. But if this guy really is the quarterback guru that people seem to think he is, I'm somebody that still believes Cutler's got some good years in him. He's got a lot of talent, and he might be a little bit of a head case, but I think he can get the job done there. And, of course, the running game has been solid for a while.
Right. That's what takes the man.
In the NFC South, I have the Atlanta Falcons also.
Okay.
And partly just because I really thought they were an excellent team last year. I mean, obviously, their record speaks for itself, but I agree that their running game is going to be better. I think the entire offense will be better. And if their defense can play halfway decent, I think there's a lot of games to be won in that division. I don't think the Saints are going to be all that strong. I think their defense was already suspect, and it got worse because of injuries.
Right.
However, I do have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a wild card team at 10-6.
Wow. Mm. Wow. I like that. Yeah. I like that pick.
I think Josh Freeman is going to remember that he was a good player 2 years ago, and I think Doug Martin
right.
is going to have another fantastic year, and I think that that defense is going to be really strong. So yeah, I see them at 10-6. Then in
That's
the
interesting.
What?
No. I was going to say Tampa is an intriguing pick because they did make significant upgrades to defense and the offense. So
yeah.
it's a matter of Josh Freeman remembering how good he was. And, you know, if that happens, then the sky's the limit for this team, I think.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about that pick. Plus,
right.
I think it'll be fun if it happens.
Yeah, there you go. Then you can say, you heard it here, folks.
Then in the NFC West, I've got I'm picking San Francisco, and I'm picking them at 13-3. And I know that the Crabtree
wow.
injury is going to set them back, but I think they're going to have the best record in the conference,
okay.
partly because I think Harbaugh is going to figure out a way to get Vernon Davis more involved. It seems like once Kaepernick actually took over the starting role at the end of last year, that Vernon Davis was much more of a featured part of the offense, and I think he will be again. They'll come up with some creative ways to use him. Frank Gore,
yeah.
of course, is still tough. I also think the way that they have constructed that roster, even if something happens to Kaepernick, they've got other guys on that roster that can still play that same style of offense, maybe not up to his level, but, you know, Colt McCoy can run the ball and can do he can do all of the types of things Kaepernick can do, just not as well. But I think that's important as opposed to, you know, some of these other teams that run a similar style offense don't have a backup that can just step right into that same kind of system. And then I've got Seattle at 10-6 as the other wild card in the NFC West. And I'll tell you the truth,
mm-hmm.
I really think Seattle is the best team in the NFC. So this was more of a
mm.
schedule issue. All of the non-conference games that are tough that the 49ers and the Seahawks both share, the Niners have those games at home and the Seahawks have them on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where I came down on that. Seattle has to go to Houston, to Indianapolis, and to Atlanta. And San Francisco gets all those three teams at home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I give them the edge in the division.
Gotcha.
As far as the AFC goes, the AFC East is probably my boldest prediction. And by way of a little background, I guess every year since, let me think here. How long ago was that? Every year since 1996, five new teams made the playoffs that didn't make them the year before, except for last year it was four teams. So in order to keep that trend alive, you got to go outside the box a little bit. In the AFC East, I've got the Dolphins winning the division at 9-7.
Wow, that's outside the box. Way off the ballpark right there, sister.
And I'll tell you the truth, it has less to do with how good I think the Dolphins are and more to do with that I am not a believer in the Patriots. I don't believe they have a good defense. I don't believe Amendola is going to really stay on the field. And having
mm-hmm.
all of their tight ends either injured or in jail, I think, is eventually going to catch up to them. And and I've got them at 8-8 and not in the playoffs at all.
Wow, that's huge. That's
the
huge.
Jets and Buffalo are going to be really terrible, though.
Of course.
I think.
Of course.
I have them as the two worst teams in the AFC.
Wow. You know, that's not hard to believe right there.
That's not outside the box thinking.
Yeah, it goes.
That's squarely
actually.
In the box.
There you go.
In the AFC North, I've got Cincinnati also winning the division at 10-6.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got Cleveland Browns as a wild card at 9-7.
Ooh, wow. Wow. The dark horse. The Browns.
I think Baltimore took a few steps back, and I don't think Pittsburgh took any steps forward. And so I've got...
Right.
I mean, I don't think either one of those teams is going to be bad, and I don't think either one of them will be an easy victory for anybody on any given Sunday. But I think that Cleveland at 9-7... I mean, I think Cleveland will end up with 9-7, and I think that'll be good enough to get them in. I think the offense is going to
be something.
What'd you say?
Wouldn't that be something?
I know. When's the last time the Dolphins and the Browns were both in the playoffs? And the Bengals. That
I know.
God, way it has to be in the 80s.
Yeah, that's on a way back machine. In the AFC South, I've got Houston at 13-3 as the best team in the conference. I'm surprised they don't have more buzz from just, you know, listening to people on the radio all the time. And it's just like everybody almost like steps past them because they've been so good for a while but haven't really made it
right.
to the playoffs. But I think they're real good. And I think, you know, there's no explaining what happened in Indianapolis last year if you look at what that roster actually is. And as much as I like Chuck Pagano as a person, and I'm glad that he's healthy, that whole Chuck Strong thing isn't going to happen again this year, we hope. You know,
right.
He'll actually be on the sidelines,
yeah.
and they won't have that kind of magical fairy tale thing going on. So I think they'll be fine, but I think they'll be 8-8 and not in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then I've got in the AFC West, Denver at 11-5 as the winner of the division. And Kansas City at 9-7 as the second wild card. Which I know is not really that. They've been getting a little bit of buzz here lately, but I think that has a lot to do with the injuries last year were horrific for them, especially on the defensive side. And assuming that doesn't happen again, I think Andy Reid is actually a really good coach. And even if it was. I think it was probably time for everybody to just move on from that situation in Philly, but I think he'll bring a lot of good ideas to Kansas City, and I think Alex Smith he showed at the beginning of last year that he's certainly capable.
Yeah, I like the Alex Smith pick. I love.
And
Alex
I think
Smith.
He'll be smart enough at least to get the ball to Dwayne Bowe, hopefully, because he's leading my fantasy team. So, those would be my picks right there. As far as the Super Bowl, I've got Houston over Seattle in the Super Bowl.
Wow, that's cool. That's hot. So basically, when was the last time, I know Dwayne, you mentioned this earlier, just to piggyback on your point, when was the last time you had the Dolphins, the Browns, and the Chiefs in the playoffs in the same year?
Browns, Chiefs.
Well, yeah,
wow.
I throw the Bengals
if
in there, too.
If you're going to ask me to
and
guess
Bengals,
without
yeah.
looking... Wow. I'm going to say it may have been the 90s. I'm guessing somewhere. You said Dolphins, Chiefs, Browns, and
who else? And the Bengals.
Wow.
The Bengals, yeah.
You know what? I'm going to say probably the last time that the Browns made it to the playoffs, which was probably, I think, 98, 99 maybe? Somewhere between 97 and 99. That's what I'll look
at. Okay.
I don't know.
I'll give it a little bit of a look here.
Okay, cool.
I would guess you're right. It probably is the last time that the Browns made the playoffs because that's been a while.
Because remember, they surprised teams before they moved. No, actually, they moved
They moved in 95.
Yeah.
They moved
I'm trying to remember. So that means that that new regime of the Browns came in late 90s, early 2000. I think they may have made the playoffs that second year. That may be the last time that those four teams may have made the playoffs that last time. I'm just
that was a Butch. They were coached by Butch Davis, right? They were coached by Butch Davis. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
They were coached by Butch Davis. I remember that.
And the Chiefs were relatively good then, and Miami was okay. They had a pretty decent running game. So that leaves me, that's my guess, that maybe at least three of those four teams were in the playoffs at the same time then.
Right, because Pittsburgh and Cleveland made it out of the North that year. I do remember that.
Mm.
And they had that epic wild card game. That's interesting. Now, wouldn't that be a hoot? All four of those teams at the playoffs in the same year. That would turn the NFL axis on its head. And then Roger Goodell would make more rules to make the game – more with you, but I won't digress.
And by the way, those picks were five new teams, so that's...
Yeah.
That would be the trend.
Okay. Yep, there you go. Well, there you go. This, you got it. So My man Dwayne, the Redskins fan, who had a happy year last year until the first round game, but you had a good year last year. What are your picks, my friend?
Wow. Okay, so I guess I'm going to go in the exact same order as the ladies. So that means we are going to start with the NFC East. And I'm kind of afraid to say it, but I think I am going to lean towards the Redskins winning that division. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through divisional winners first, and then I'm going to name my wild card teams. But, yeah.
Sure, that's cool.
You know, you were talking about the Redskins here in this particular situation. Offense seems to be better, in my opinion. Even with the quarterback situation still kind of in limbo, depending upon how healthy Robert Griffin is or is not. The run game, it's a little bit more stout in terms of depth. Same thing with the receiving core. Tight end situation seems to be in pretty good shape. You get Fred Davis back. You have Robert Paulson, who actually – not Robert Paulson, I'm sorry, I'm thinking someone else. You bring in Paulson, who played pretty well last year in relief of Davis, and you bring in Josh Reed as well. And there's some youth and also athleticism at the tight end spot. And they, in my opinion, get a little bit better on the offense. And the defense can't help but get better. They were ranked somewhere in the 20s in both passing and rushing. But they were pretty stinky in terms of getting off the field on third downs. Hopefully, you'll get a situation with Arakpo coming back. You maybe Merriweather coming back as well. And Tanner Jackson, I still haven't heard whether or not he's coming back yet to the Redskins or not, but if you add in Merriweather and Jackson, it kind of shores up that safety spot for them, so they really won't have to rely on this on the young guys, even though they did look pretty good in preseason, even though I still have some questions about that. You move on.
Can I just say one thing about their cornerbacks?
Oh, yeah.
I'm also a Redskins fan, by the way. David Amerson, I think, is going to be one of the worst cornerbacks in the entire league. And I say that after having watched almost every down of NC State football for the last 4 years. If the ball comes his direction, he can either catch it and intercept it or nothing. I don't think I saw him make one tackle in 4 years. Well, I mean, that's an exaggeration. But, I mean, he plays defense like Venus de Milo. He has zero ability to wrap up and tackle. But that being said, I still like that pick. Sorry, I forgot to mention my Amerson thing during my portion. All right, sorry.
That's completely okay. And you know what the bad thing is? I think the way that you just described Amerson is the way that a lot of people believe that D'Angelo Hall is, even though he makes a lot of plays and he actually makes a lot of tackles. But that is kind of a sore spot for me in terms of the defense. Because of those guys are so opportunistic in terms of attacking the ball, that a lot of times they may or may even get accused of being beat. So I'm hoping that the play calling there in terms of or the decision making for the safeties is a lot better than it was last year, i.e. that first Giants game in New York. I still have a sore spot about that game, but that's neither here nor there.
Right.
The NFC North, I'm sorry, I'm so old, I'm about to call it the Central. The NFC North, I'm sorry, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, but I don't see them winning more than 10 games this year probably. The Green Bay Packers, I have them coming out as divisional winners. Also, moving on to the South, it's almost hands down as strong as that offense is. I have the Atlanta Falcons coming out as divisional winners there with Steven Jackson, Julio Jones, Roddy White, the potential of the pass-catching ability of Jaquez Rogers, and old father time there, Tony Gonzalez. That offense is just, in my opinion, probably one of the best. Yes, exactly. That has to be one of the better offenses in the league, if not the best. And they made some adjustments there. I don't know how I completely feel about the John Abraham to OCU Manure change there. We'll have to see about that. And that play against the O-line there in the NFC South, you know, I'm really not 100% on the Saints O-line, but, you know, we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, I really do have the Falcons coming out as the divisional champs there. And out of the West, maybe I'm still bitter. No, I am still bitter. I don't have the Seahawks coming out as champions there. I'm looking at the Niners coming out as the champs there, probably with about 10-11 wins there. The reason why I'm not falling for this Seattle Seahawks banana in the tailpipe is because if you look at their season last year, there are about four games there that they won that they shouldn't have won.
Sure.
Do I dare say the Green Bay Packer game? But I digress. They still won in New England. They steal another one in Chicago in overtime. And they held on to barely beat the Rams at the end of the year last year. I completely forgot about that game. I remember watching that game.
Don't forget about the Packers game.
Yeah, see? And, you know, with those four wins, you take those four wins away.
Yeah.
I don't see them, but they did what they were supposed to do in the playoffs. And I like to call that situational football. They played well against the opponents that they had to face. I'm kind of agreeing with what was said earlier in terms of them being a relatively strong team, but the schedule is what's going to be an issue with the Seahawks this particular year, along with the fact that I still believe that they were a mirage last year as well with those four fluke wins to me. But
right,
we'll move on from me bashing the Seahawks here. AFC East. I'm looking at the Pats. Picking the Pats. Miami seems to be a sexy pick, and they've gotten better. I mean, they've added Mike Wallace there. You know, they stole your Steeler receiver there, and Mike Wallace. They lose their tight end. I like Lamar Miller. He's not an elite running back in my mind right now, but he is a relatively productive running back. Along with Wallace and Hartline on the outside, but I like the moves they made on defense, and their defense relatively stout last year.
Okay.
And as much as they screamed about how there were claims from, of course, Miami media and Dolphin players that Tannehill was the best rookie to come out of the draft last year. That's surpassing Luck, Griffin, and Wilson. I don't know if I saw that last year, but, you know, once again, I didn't watch Dolphin games last year, didn't care to. But I do see them getting better, but I just don't see them being better than the Patriots. The one thing everyone likes to talk about with the Patriots is they've lost receivers. They no longer have Gronkowski may come back sometime this season, but we don't know exactly when. Hernandez is in jail. But the one thing no one likes to talk about is the fact that the Patriots were the seventh best team rushing the ball last year in the league. So I think that they're going to rely a lot on Ridley, and they're going to rely a lot on Vereen, so you got Vereen there, you got Ridley there. So I think they're going to lean a lot on them. And, I mean, with the exception of Randy Moss, can you really, I mean, maybe Givens, maybe Brown, but can you really name me another all-star receiver that Tom Brady has really had to work with?
Yeah.
No, you're right. They become an all-star when he starts throwing it to them.
Exactly. I mean, this guy has the ability to work with whoever is put next to him, so I don't think they're really worried about that. The defense is still not the best, but they have some positions there. Where they tend to play well, and I think it'll be well enough for him to go ahead and come out on top of that division. AFC North, I don't think you want to hear this too tough, Scott, so you may want to go ahead and cover your
That's
ears.
That's right. I've been hearing it all year so far.
But I'm agreeing with the ladies here, with the Bengals. I mean, they won the division last year. Albeit tight with the Ravens last year. They did both come out with the same record, but they had a better divisional record. I just like their youth movement that's going on in Cincinnati. They have a lot of good young players on both sides of the ball, very talented, and I foresee them continuing to get better there. Giovanni Bernard, I would love to see what this guy does along with the rest of his offense there.
I love that draft pick, by the way. Love that draft pick.
Yeah, so I just want to see what this guy does with this team, but I really do believe that they do come out on top of the division. I think it's going to be tight again between them and Baltimore, but I see them coming out on top. As of the AFC West, I'm going to have to agree with the ladies there again. I mean, how can you not with teams like Oakland and San Diego out there out west? But I do see Kansas City making improvements. I don't know if I see them making the wild card yet, but I do see them as an improving team. So, my two wild card teams for both conferences, I actually have did I skip the AFC conference?
Yeah, I think you skipped the AFC South, actually. Yeah, I think you did. I just realized
that. Wow, yeah, so did I. As soon as I looked at my notes, I completely forgot. I have the Texans winning that division as well, but I see it as a closing window. I don't know if this team has really gotten any better. They've gotten kind of older with the addition of Ed Reed back there at safety. But unless it can make some moves the next couple of years, I see their window closing in terms of dominating this particular division for much longer. Because, let's face it, as good as he is, Andre Johnson is getting older as well. I mean, they had the great pickup with Hopkins. Adrian Foster, elite running back that they have there. Owen Daniels is pretty good tight end that they have there as well. But I'm going to need them to make some additional moves in terms of addition. And J.J. Watt as well. You can't deny him with Mario Williams on the other side of the ball on the defensive line. That defense is relatively stout, too. But I see it as a closing window if they don't make any moves in terms of improving that receiving core and the DBs back there as well. But I do have them winning the division this year. So we're talking about the wild card teams. I'll try to wrap this up as quickly as I can. I have Dolphins. I have Dolphins, Bengals, Giants, and the Bears, actually. So, yeah. So those are my picks.
Okay, gotcha.
I like that Dolphins pick.
These are Dolphins, man. Y'all feeling the Dolphins, man. It's funny to me. It's all good, man, but that's what I like, outside-the-box thinking. I love it. So I'm going to give you guys my half-baked picks. I tend to get these wrong all the time, but I think I'm pretty confident this year. So since I'm an AFC guy, I'm going to start the AFC.
Okay.
We're going to say the NFC for last, okay? But I'm going to start the AFC. Well, I'm going to start with one of my two what I call no-shit shark divisions. And what I mean by that is they're so easy to pick, even Stevie Wonder can actually see where we're coming from. Okay, so the AFC least, I got the Patriots coming out of that one by default. I mean, I think they'll moonwalk their way to 10 wins in that division. They got 6 wins again against the Dolphins, who I agree is getting to be competitive, but hadn't earned my benefit of the doubt yet. And then, of course, you got the Bills and the Jets. I mean, God bless the Jets. Jets, the acronym Jets should stand for just end the season. I mean, it's just a difference. So let's move to the AFC North. Like y'all, I had to swallow my pride and go with common sense here and pick the Bengals. As much as I love the Giovanni Bernard pick in the second round, I think that made the offense a bit more dynamic to go with AJ Green. Mm-hmm. I loved more the first round pick, that tight end Eifert. I think his last name is Eifert or Effort out of Notre Dame.
Eifert, yeah.
That was a damn That was a damn good pick. That was a damn good pick because they didn't have to pick a tight end, but they went with the best player on the board. And that makes them all that dangerous. I mean, can you imagine trying to cover him, Jermaine Gresham, as a tight end? And then you got A.J. Green on the perimeter. And then you got Bernard coming out of the backfield on third downs. Kudos to the Bengals. I don't say that too often. Kudos to the Bengals for making great draft picks. Kudos. I mean, that made the offense that much more dynamic. And then you have James Harrison being signed as a free agent. What I like about James Harrison is he may be old as far as NFL says. He's still young to me, by the way. But I like the fact that they're bringing in the nasty. He brings that nasty attitude. And that's going to be infectious on the already good Bengals defense. So I see them getting over the top with that. I see it happening. Let's see. That leaves us with the AFC South. I agree with you all. It's the Texans. But their window is closing very quickly because you got other teams around them, namely the Bengals and the Broncos, coming up. Well, actually, they already up in terms of the Broncos. I'm not sold on Matt Schaub as being the guy to take us to the promised land. I know that sounds harsh, but it is what it is. You got A.J. Green. I'm sure you got Andre Johnson, one of the better wide receivers in the game, along with Arian Foster toting the rock in the backfield when he's healthy. And, of course, they're always imposing defense. Schaub has no excuse of not getting it done. He has no excuse. This is a championship ready team. It's all on you, brother. It's all on you, Schaub. And the other no shit Sherlock team division, the AFC West, it's the Broncos. Again, Stevie Wonder could see that pick coming. Now I do like Andy Reid coaching the Chiefs, and I like even more that Alex Smith is there. I just don't like them enough yet. Now, next year, probably a different story. I think they'll be a playoff team next year if they improve a lot this year, if that makes any sense. But I still think they're a year away, but they're not that far away. And I don't think those interaction injuries will happen yet again. As far as the NFC goes, the NFC East, I'll be alone in the center and pit the Giants. And pit the Giants. I think that with the Redskins, that sure they're trendy. Of course, your boy RG3 is back on the center. It's just that one thing, and it applies, and it's going to apply to Colin Kaepernick as it applied to Cam Newton, and it'll also apply to that quarterback in Seattle. Russell Wilson. People have film on these guys now. They defensive coordinators have spent the offseason preparing to stop the read option. I'm not saying it's going to be huge success stopping the read option. I think it's going to be around for a while. But if you give any of these defensive coordinators who get paid a lot of money, by the way, to game plan to prepare for the spread option, look out. That said, I like the Redskins to be competitive this year, but I don't think that they're going to surprise a lot of people this year. But I will say this, Redskins have a lot of pieces back on defense. That's going to keep them in the playoff hunt throughout the season, that alone. And the secondary can't help but get better. It can't get any worse than it did last year, okay? It couldn't get any worse. But I see the Giants eking out a division crown this year, and it's going to be close from teams 1 through 3. And the Eagles are the odd team out, of course, because, well, they stink. The NFC North, I got the Packers winning. Bad defense and all. I got them winning it. It's going to be close this time because I think Jay Cutler has at least one more good run in him. I think it's going to be his last stand this year in Chicago, and I don't think they're going to go away quietly. But I do like the Packers in this division, albeit barely. The NFC South is going to trip. I'm going to trip you up a little bit in the NFC South. I got the Saints winning. And here's why.
Wow.
Sure, the Saints have a bad defense. Hell, I could gather like 10 cats from the neighborhood of offense and put up 30 on their defense. But I will say this. Remember when, was it Roger Goodell, that play-headed bastard, like came hard on, down hard on Bill Belichick for the whole Spygate scandal?
Yeah.
And what happened?
Yeah, I remember that, how it turned out for everybody, yeah.
Exactly. The Rams are scoring and to the tune of losing the last game in the Super Bowl. But the Rams scored to make a point, said, fuck y'all haters, you know. I'm going to do my own thing. And I see Sean Payton doing the same thing in New Orleans. I think Sean Payton's going to come back with a vengeance. I think the Saints are going to collect the middle finger to the rest of the league. I think, and especially Roger Goodell. And it's one thing hanging out in New Orleans for New Year's this past year. I figured that Goodell is a hated man. Hell, I can't stand him myself. But New Orleans really hates Roger Goodell to the point where you saw, and I'm not making this up, you saw voodoo dolls, life-size voodoo dolls along the side of the Superdome where we walked around doing the tailgate with Roger Goodell's pictures plastered all over them and signs of restaurants in the French Quarter says, and I quote, do not serve this man, with a picture of Roger Goodell in the middle of it. They hated him. The team hates his ass. And I think that, I'm not making this up. This is true. I took pictures. It's on my Instagram account. They hate Roger Goodell. The team hates Roger Goodell. John McVilma hates Roger Goodell. Sean Payton hates him even more. I think he's going to come out a la Bill Belichick and just run the score on folks. Warts and all, and defense and all, I think the Saints are going to make a point this year. Now, having said that, the actual NFC South is actually the toughest division in all of football. Any of those four teams can make a case to be a playoff team. I like the way that Carolina improved. I like the way that the defense looked in the preseason. I love that Kepler kid as a middle linebacker. Mm-hmm. I love him. Playing alongside John Beeson, love him. I love that first two draft picks on the defensive line. Love them, and I like what Tampa Bay is doing. I like the Revis pickup. I think he's going to come out with a chip on his shoulder. I love the addition they made on the offense and in the defensive skill positions, if you will. And as long as Josh Freeman remembers that he is a decent quarterback who had a good year 2 years ago, I think this guy's limit for the Bucs. Just won't be this year. And for the NFC West, I got the 49ers. Beating out the Seahawks. I think the 49ers and Seahawks is the new Steelers, Ravens in the NFC. I think they both hate each other. I think both coaches hate each other. And the fact that they're both hard-nosed physical teams. So I'm looking forward to both the matches this year. Wild cards for both conferences. AFC, I'm going to stop you again. Ravens and my Pitts. Pittsburgh Steelers, I got them both as wild cards, folks. Never ever count out Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin. Don't count those two cats out. And I got Ravens up in 30 seconds, but I have the 49ers and the Bengals playing for the Super Bowl with the 49ers winning it all. Thank you guys for joining me on the podcast. I know I told you I was going to trip you up. And we're going to continue this all season, so have a good night, y'all.
Thanks for having me.
Good night.
All right, cool. That's Dwayne Nash and the Wild Banshee herself, Rebecca Wetzel. This has been fun. Thank you all for tuning in. Please check us out on Blog Talk Radio. And until next time, this is Scott versus the Clown Hour. Take care. Until next time. Oh, shit. I'm out.